the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, imploring Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
I said I will confess my transgressions to the Lord.
And you forgave me and forgive my sins. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess to you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your punishment, now and forever. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy and innocent of their suffering and death, of your blessed Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God to all of you. And in the stead, by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The intro. The home to the dust of earth. A God of Israel is he who gives strength and power to his people.
Let God arise and let his name be chastened. Let those also who hate him flee before him. Let them the righteous be. Let them rejoice before God. Yes, let them rejoice exceedingly. O God, when you went out
Almighty and everlasting God, who are always more ready to hear than we to pray, and give more than we either desire or deserve, pour down upon us the abundance of your mercy, forgiving those things of which our conscience is afraid, and giving us those good things which we are not worthy to ask, except through the merits and mediation of Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, ever one God, world without end. The Old Testament reading for the 11th Sunday after Trinity is from the 4th chapter of Genesis. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry, and why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. Now Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel your brother? He said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. So now you are cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you. A fugitive and a vagabond you shall be on the earth. And Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Surely you have driven me out this day from the face of the ground. I shall be hidden from your face. I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond on the earth. And it will happen that anyone who finds me will kill me. And the Lord said to him, therefore, whoever kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark on Cain, lest anyone finding him should kill him. This is the word of the Lord.
My heart trusted in God, and I am held. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices. To you I will cry, O Lord, my God. Hear the voice of my supplications when I cry to you.
The epistle reading is from the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. After that he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that he was seen by James, then by all the apostles. Then last of all he was seen by me also, as by one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. This is the word of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 18th chapter. Also, Jesus spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. This is the Gospel of the Lord. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and Giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy, Christian, and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
I would not see the light. grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from Jesus Christ, his Son, our Savior. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. What a contrast is offered to us in today's Gospel. For we hear of the boastfulness of the unforgiven Pharisee and the pious reception of the mercy of the triune God, which is expressed in the prayer of the repentant tax collector. The contrast that is offered by our Lord is given that we might perceive justifying faith for what it truly is and how it may be recognized. The worldly-minded purported piety of the Pharisee is concerned for what he is doing. The divinely bestowed godliness of the repentant tax collector guides him to come before the Lord and receive that which the Lord freely bestows. The collect appointed for this day is ancient. Even the standard English translation dates to the middle of the 17th century. And this collect is among the most sublime in the entire calendar. Almighty and everlasting God, who art always more ready to hear than we to pray, and art wont to give more than either we desire or deserve, pour down upon us the abundance of thy mercy, forgiving us those things whereof our conscience is afraid, and giving us those good things which we are not worthy to ask, but through the merits and mediation of Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord. The prayer reminds us that as we pray, that the Lord of heaven and earth is always more ready to hear than we to pray, and is wont, that is to say, is accustomed, to give more than we either desire or deserve. And we see the truth of this in the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. The divine word teaches us why the Lord spoke this parable. He spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. It is thus appointed to be read and preached in the church, for this is an affliction within the church which endures to the end of the world. The point of comparison between the two men is that the Pharisee is one who trusted in himself that he was righteous and despised others. The Lord declares that such people pray thus with themselves and go down to their homes without being justified. The tax collector who seeks no point of comparison with other sinful men and trusts not in any righteousness of his own is the one who goes down to his home justified. The prayer of the Pharisee is more than four times as long as the prayer of the tax collector. Now, there is no sin in a long prayer or a short one, if viewed solely on account of the length of the prayer. But Jesus declared in Matthew, the 23rd chapter, the reason for the long prayers of the Pharisees. For he said to them, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. Therefore you will receive greater condemnation." The pretense of the Pharisees is the reason for their verbosity. Their prayer comes from their lack of faith. The self-congratulatory false prayer of the Pharisee is a sustained boast in the abundance of his labors. He has fasted. He has tithed. He attributes to God the fact that he is not like other notorious sinners or like the repentant tax collector. Now, it is true that he is nothing like the tax collector, and that fact is to his lasting shame. But the lack of similitude is not something the Lord has worked. Rather, it is in the impenitence of the Pharisee. The Pharisee does not desire what the Lord bestows: the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. The Pharisee wants what comes from his own labors, a righteousness of which he may boast and preen before others. He desires the praise of man and of God, and seeks to make God an accomplice in his self-justification. The tax collector seeks no comparison with others in the church. Rather, he desires only that which the Lord has promised. For again, it is as is prayed in the collect, "Pour down upon us the abundance of thy mercy, forgiving us those things whereof our conscience is afraid, and giving those things which we are not worthy to ask, but through the merits and mediation of Jesus Christ. The prayer of the tax collector, God be merciful to me, a sinner, is the origin of the so-called Jesus prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. We may better understand his piety even more clearly when we better understand what it is that he actually prays. While the translations often read, and blunt the text a little bit, God be merciful to me, a sinner, he actually refers to himself as to hamartalo, the sinner. The tax collector prays as if he's the only sinner in the entire world, the only one who stands before God and faces judgment. Not just, God be merciful to me, a sinner, safely here in the flock of all of Israel. You know, don't pay too much attention to me, I'm just one more. Instead, he makes bold to say, be merciful to me, the sinner. Which is as to say, O Christ, if there had been no other in all of earth who needed your redemption, nevertheless, for my sake, you have come to make atonement, and in you I may have my hope. God be merciful to me, the sinner. He doesn't seek self-justification by way of saying, well, Lord, be merciful to me, but at least I'm not like that other guy over there. I mean, do you hear what he's doing, Lord? He's going on and on about himself. At least I'm not doing that. Oh, wait. Always the trap, the moment we start to think of anything being of ourselves. All is of Christ. All is bestowed by him. In us there is nothing but uncleanness and a worthiness of condemnation. God be merciful to me, the sinner. He believes that which the Word of God declares, and by the working of the Holy Spirit perceives that he is the sinner in need of the salvation which the Lord merits through the suffering and death of God in the flesh. The Pharisee, for all of his pretense, cuts himself off from the divine tradition of the Word of the Lord. Consider the words of St. Paul in the epistle reading. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which you also received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, that he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. After that he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that he was seen by James, then by all the apostles. Then last of all he was seen by me also as one born out of due time. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received. What is it that St. Paul received? Both that which the Lord had made known from of old in Holy Writ, and that which was revealed in the generation of the holy apostles. It is thus that St. Paul speaks of that which is proclaimed according to the Scriptures, and that which he and the other apostles are witnesses to. St. Paul thus also wrote to the Corinthians earlier in the same epistle, in the 11th chapter, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the traditions just as I delivered them to you. The divinely bestowed tradition is that which is received from the Lord and handed on to each generation of the saints of the Lord. And it is thus that St. Paul warned the Thessalonians. But we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the tradition which he received from us. The tax collector is one who thus meekly received the prophetic and apostolic tradition. The Pharisee is a boastful man who seeks to justify himself, and though he may on occasion make use of the word, he is not found within the tradition. The tax collector is humble. He clings to that which God bestows. Thus we remember again the words of the collect when we pray the triune God, pour down upon us the abundance of thy mercy, forgiving us those things whereof our conscience is afraid, and giving us those good things which we are not worthy to ask, but through the merits and mediation of Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord. The conscience is afraid because the knowledge of the law reveals our sin. And we know, no matter our protestations, that we deserve condemnation. The bragging and boasting of the Pharisee is an attempt to establish a righteousness other than that of the Christ as the means of salvation. In fact, the Pharisee speaks as if he has no need for a Savior at all. Makes you wonder what he's doing in the temple, save preening. He esteems his own righteousness very highly indeed. The pride of the Pharisee betrays a heart that knows nothing of repentance and faith. The humility of the tax collector knows that if not for the invitation which the Lord extends through his word, we would not dare to ask for the grace of God. For we are not worthy to ask, but through the merits and mediation of Jesus Christ. It is thus that St. Paul wrote, "But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." Think of this. In all of the things which the Lord thus used St. Paul to accomplish, he knew that even when he spoke of them for a moment, it was necessary to immediately amend it by way of saying, "But not me. The grace of God in me. Never me. I am always unworthy. You alone, O Christ, are worthy. And any good which is accomplished is his by his working." As we just sang in the hymn, "The minister whom Christ hath sent is but his humble instrument." It is thus that we come before the Lord with the words of our confession of sin. "Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment." For we hold back nothing, and we confess that sin thus taints all that we are, all that we have done, all that we ever shall do, until we are finally, mercifully taken out of this veil of tears. The corruption of sin is always present. Therefore, we live day by day only according to the mercy which God has shown to us. And thus we hear that mercy in those clear words of the absolution. This has been one of the great tragedies of much of so-called modern Christianity, is that they always go after those words of absolution, trying to blunt them, turn them into a declaration of grace, or somehow attribute something to man's working, if they talk about Jesus at all. We need to hear that by that word our sins are forgiven, as our confessions speak of it, as if by a voice of God from heaven. Over and over again, that language is used in the Augsburg Confession and the Apology. The absolution is the voice of God from heaven, even though it is spoken through mere mortal men, because the power is not in the men. Power is in Christ Jesus, who has thus proclaimed that word is to be spoken, and thus it shall be proclaimed to the end of the world. It is, as we confess in our unaltered Augsburg Confession. Now, repentance consists properly of these two parts. One is contrition, that is, terrors smiting the conscience through the knowledge of sin. The other is faith, which, born of the gospel or of absolution, believes that for Christ's sake, sins are forgiven, comforts the conscience, and delivers it from terrors. Then good works are bound to follow, which are the fruit of repentance. Or in the Apology of the Augsburg Confession, "Therefore baptism, the Lord's Supper, and absolution, which is the sacrament of repentance, are truly sacraments. For these rites of God's command and the promise of grace, which is peculiar to the New Testament. For when we are baptized, when we eat the Lord's body, when we are absolved, they ought certainly to assure us that God truly forgives us for Christ's sake. God, at the same time, by word and by rites, moves hearts to believe and conceive faith, just as Paul says, faith cometh by hearing. But just as the word enters the ears in order to strike hearts, so the rite itself meets the eye in order to move hearts." So far our confession. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The Lord gives us that which we could never deserve, so that the Christ who died for our sins, was buried, and who rose again the third day, is our Savior, for he is our Lord and God. And he will return in glory to gather his saints to himself, and we shall praise him for endless ages for the mercy which he has granted to us throughout our life in this fallen world, and we will abide in his grace forever. Amen. Anthony Robbins. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.
Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Almighty God, Heavenly Father, we give thanks that though we are all like men, alike sinful and unclean, you justify us through faith in Christ, apart from our thoughts, words, and deeds. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
O Lord, by the preaching of your word, give your church the boldness to humble ourselves with repentant hearts, crying out, Lord, have mercy, and clinging only to our Savior Jesus Christ for our righteousness, so that we might faithfully perform good works. Give all pastors, including our Bishop James, our pastors Michael and Gary, the will and ability to always preach justification by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Bless our director Keeley, as well as the teachers and staff of our Learning Center, that the children know that they are saved by grace through faith, which is the gift of God. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Endow our President Joe, our Governor J.B., our Mayor Steve, federal and state legislators, county commissioners, city officials, and all our judges with grace to rule for the maintenance of goodness and the hindrance of evil. Give us compassion for couples and families that are struggling through separation and divorce. Protect those who serve in the armed forces, especially Danny, Jason, Blake, and our police officers, especially Daniel and Alex, that they may be diligently carry out their duties and be protected from all harm and danger. Bless the labors of all those who work honestly with their bodies and minds. Lead employers to provide useful employment to the unemployed and just wages for all those who labor. Encourage those who work for their families and church with the knowledge that their labors are not in vain. Bless our universities, colleges, and schools so that knowledge may be increased among us and all good learning flourish and abound. Bless all who teach and learn and grant that they may ever look to you with humble hearts. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
bless our shut-ins, Carolyn and Osha, our elderly Violet, those of various needs, Lord, you provide. For Caitlin, Kevin, Linda, Rebecca, Victor and Marcia, Gibb, Howard and Stan, Demi and Jack. We ask also that you would be with our students as they attend back, go back to school. For Sadie, Sarah, Kara, Alexis, and Benjamin and Jacob. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
O Lord, Heavenly Father, we here remember the sufferings and death of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation. Praising his victorious resurrection from the dead, we draw strength from his ascension before you, where he ever stands for us as our own high priest. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. For to you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up is truly good, right, and salutary, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, heaven and earth, we praise and thank you for having had mercy on those whom you created, sending your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, he bids us do in his own testament. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen. Oh. Jesus, rest our questions and grow. Take away.
thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endures forever.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. We implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same, in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Blessed be the Lord.